Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
But there has to be that one event that takes place. And then after that, there's a continual process which God loves to do in us and through us. Okay, so with that said, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And we're going to read together verses 1 through 21. So there's a story that I'm going to read here. And we need to really look at this story because something awesome took place in this 21 verses of scripture. And so I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, give me a heart to believe. Jesus, give me a heart to believe. You see, when we ask God to do the supernatural, this is what he does. I put it in a simple term. He puts his super on our natural. You see, because without God, the Bible says, without God, we are most miserable men and women. So we need the Lord. Can I get an amen? But one thing that's so, I'm going to say it like this, dynamic. Something that takes place in a believer's life when they come into the saving knowledge, God starts to draw first. And then there's some things he starts to do in your life, and you don't even know it's him doing it. He starts to put a dislike in certain things in your life. He starts to give you a mind that says, you know, I don't want this anymore for some reason. I don't know. I'm going in a wrong direction. He starts to communicate with us, and then the Bible says through his loving kindness, he drew us to repentance. Okay, so this is the focus on this message, is true repentance. Okay, what does repentance mean? I remember yesterday we were at the conference, and we were just doing a stretch thing because everyone was sitting down for a while. So he said, everyone stand up. He goes, turn to your right, and then start just massaging the shoulders of the person in front of you. Okay, so we were doing that. Then he said, okay, now repent. Everyone froze. What do you mean repent? He said, well, repent means turn. Turn the other way, all right? So we got it. You know, it was a simple word. Repent means to turn. And we're going to see through scripture, this is the most vital aspect of a Christian's life. Is that word repent. Remember that word repent. Because before what Joshua said today, before a transformation can take place, there first needs to be a heart of repentance to turn to the living God and to forsake our sin, to forsake the path we were on, forsake all these things that hinder us from God, to make an about face and to turn. So are you there at Acts chapter 3? Let's all read this verses of scripture, and then we're going to just allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Amen? And it reads, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So this is a scene where Jesus already went back to be with his Father. And now the apostles are the ones that turned the world upside down. They had such a great anointing on them. Matter of fact, this was the only time that we read in Scripture where even that they passed by and their shadow would heal people. They would send cloths to people, and even the cloth had anointing on it. Verse 3, let's go here. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. So this is a blind beggar on the steps going up to the temple. So there were all kinds. Look, in our day and time, how many homeless do we see now? So this was a homeless person who was on the temple begging. And he was lame from his mother's womb. Did you catch that? So in other words, he was born paraplegic. He never walked in his life. So they would probably carry him there so that he can beg for alms. So let's look how this story continues in verse 3. Who seeing Peter John about going into the temple asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John Peter said, look at us. So in other words, they said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. So he was thinking, okay, they're going to dig in their pocket and give whatever, alms. And then it goes on to say in verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk. How many of you want that type of anointing?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where we can just speak and watch God do the miraculous. Well, I've seen those miracles in my life already. You've heard of many of the testimonies I've shared over the past. Let's move on. Verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Wow, this is the person that was never walked. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. This was a miracle right before these very eyes that were there. How would you comprehend someone that you've known all your life that never walked and you saw him get up and walk? You would what? Wow. Oh my gosh. So let's go to verse 10. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. Oh, they go, that was that beggar. That was him, the beggar. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed and held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's porch, and they were greatly amazed. Let's go to verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? In other words, why are you marveling? Because we told him to stand up and walk, and he did. Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Now what he's doing, he flipped the script on them, and now he's bringing a message of conviction. Because you got to remember, the majority of them there were the ones that said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And so now, after Jesus rose again and went on to be with the Father, it was now, Jesus said to his apostles, tag, you're it. And guess what? From the apostles to us, tag, you're it. We've been given the mandate. So let's move on with this story. Look at this. So he's bringing now a conviction. Now let's look at verse 14. But you deny the Holy One and the just and ask for a murderer to be granted to you. Meaning, remember the story. There was Barabbas and there was Jesus. And Barabbas at that time, during the law of that day, you could choose to let one live. So who was Barabbas? Barabbas was a thief, a murderer. He was the epitome of evil. And Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin that we would become the righteousness of God by faith. So they said, let Barabbas go, crucify Jesus. Whoa. So he's reminding all of them that the miracle they just saw was from the Holy One of Israel, the one they crucified. Are you catching this? So look at this. And kill the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which you are witnesses. Verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made the man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So it was just the name alone. Amen. Listen, you and I, we can honestly say we never met Jesus face to face. Can I get an amen? But we have believed on his name. And just his name alone, we got saved. And so just the name of Jesus, they spoke into this crippled man. By the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Wow. Now, verse 17. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. Okay, he's saying, okay, we'll give you that when you say crucifying Christ. Okay, you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. Look at this. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus what? Fulfilled. Here's the key now. Here's the key right here. The next word is this. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Repent, therefore, and be converted. So God had to show them a miracle first. Because some people, you know how some people says, I'll believe it when I see it. No. God did something so miraculous that probably even the hardest of sinners saw that and repented. Come on. They didn't have the technology of the day. This wasn't done through smoke screen and mirrors. This wasn't digitally enhanced. They didn't have that on the scene. They saw this dead man, this crippled man, get up and go. Look at this. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You see, no one's sins can be washed away. God cannot apply his blood upon your life until there's a heart of repentance. And what does that mean, repent? It's easy. Look, we're walking the course of this life. As soon as we exit our mother's womb, we're walking away from God. We're rebellious as a child. That's why we need to learn mannerism. We need to be, we have to learn to be polite, courteous. We're teaching our kids to honor adults and parents and grandparents, right? We have to instill that in them, because if we never taught them that, they would be running around like rebels without a cause. You got to discipline them. You got to instill that. Why? Because the human nature is evil. Automatically. And so as soon as we come into this world, like little tiny sister Z just came. Even little sister Z is a tiny little sinner. And you have to teach that beautiful little kid mannerism. You got to instill. But the moment we are thrust out of our mother's womb, we're walking automatically away from God. We're walking the course of this world. And until Jesus comes and draws us to himself, we will never go that direction. We're here because we have encountered God. Can I get amen? Amen. And now that we have encountered God, we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. If you didn't love God, you wouldn't even be here. But for those that we know, those who we love, friends, family, co-workers, acquaintances, many of them don't know Jesus. They're looking at your life, and they're probably going, I wonder how long that's going to last. For me, 32 years. So I say back, keep on looking. Keep on looking, because I'm not going on anywhere, because I've been born again. You've been born again. Can I get amen? So look at this. He said, repent, therefore, be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And yesterday, we were in the presence of the Lord. It was a time of refreshing. I know some that came that never saw this, probably were a little, a little conservative in your thought thinking. But when you just let go, God had his way, didn't he? Huh? Oh, yes. Man, tears were flowing. People were praying in tongues. They probably never prayed like that ever. Like I said, we saw all kinds of fish flopping. Look at this, verse 20. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Wow. So we're going to see what Jesus preached. We're going to see what John the Baptist preached. We're going to see what the Old Testament said about repent. It's vital. I need to get this in your spirit, because without repentance, we're not going to receive nothing from God. And I've seen this in church in 32 years. There's people, they'll suffer burnout. Why? Because they're operating in their own strength. They don't have the power of God living. See, because to walk this walk, we need a supernatural empowerment by God. We need to be overflowing by him. He needs to be the strength of our life. He needs to be the one we cling to. Say, God, I need you. So, let's look at this up here. How many times have you confessed the same sin to the Lord, and each time you feel sorry and tell him you won't do it again? Every one of us has those little pet peeves. There's something that you deal with that I probably will never deal with in my whole life, and vice versa. There's always something that's there. And we always say, oh, God, I promise I won't do that again. And when the moment arises, the next day, next week, whatever, that same little lustful thing will come. And then we find ourselves entrapped. And so we need to take a closer look, because this message is to help us. This message is to help us be set free. This message is to say, God, without you, I can't do nothing. But with you, God, all things are possible. All things are possible. You see, saints of God, yet deep inside, we doubt that we will follow through. We've all been there, haven't we? I've been there so many times in my Christian walk. I've been there. I'm not immune to falling short. The Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. There are some things that I struggled, and I didn't have a clue. I didn't understand, why do I keep falling in this same trap? Well, I'll tell you, for me, it's because I wasn't tired of it, and I didn't want to turn from it. Are you catching this? When you have a made up mind to say, I don't want to do that no more, and you turn from it, say, God, now help me. That's when he will come in and supernaturally deliver you from it. But you got to be sick and tired and be sick and tired of it. Because if not, then you're, you know what? Guess what? I still enjoy it. And I want to go back and visit that. So we're seeing through the Word of God that this word repentance was used throughout the Word. And it's a genuine word. Saints, repentance is vital for salvation and growth in holiness. Why? Because before Jesus ascended to heaven, he commissions his disciples in saying this. So before Jesus was taken up in a cloud, this was his last words to his disciples right here in Luke 24. Let's look at this. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." We know that. And that what? Repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations. So this was a command to the apostles. And the very first word was repentance. And what is remission? That means forgiveness of sins. Because once the heart repents, guess what? You've heard me say this time and time again. Once we repented, we turn now to God. That's when the blood cleanses us from the original sin from Adam. And now the Holy Spirit can come in and live in us. Isn't it amazing how God works that way? Yeah. And it should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued. What did you catch that? I need you to catch that last little phrase. Until you are endued with power from on high. So when the Holy Spirit comes in, he brings power. Amen. Power now comes in. Supernatural power. We like to say Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah. We saw a bunch of Holy Ghost power. There were people like... People just, there was a group, they couldn't stop laughing. It was like someone had a feather and was tickling their nose. It was the joy of the Lord. And if you never experienced anything like that, listen, there's no other feeling like it. It's a physical feeling. It's just not something we made up. No, when the power of God comes, it's like, so, look at this. The Bible has much to say about repentance. Can I get amen? It does. We're going to go through a few verses right now. Look at this. In Matthew 3, 1 through 2, look at it. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand." So, John the Baptist, that was Jesus' primo. That was his cousin. Okay, they were first cousins. He paved the way for the Messiah. Matter of fact, he was the only one in Scripture, John the Baptist, that was filled with the Holy Spirit inside of his mother's womb. What? So when Mary was carrying the Lord Jesus and she came to see her cousin Elizabeth, they were both pregnant. With John the Baptist, Elizabeth had John the Baptist in her belly, and Mary had Jesus. And as soon as she got close, John the Baptist, the baby started leaping in the womb. Amazing, huh? Look at this in Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Notice the theme here. There's a theme here. There's a precedence. There's an order. It's God's order, not mine. It's not yours. God implemented this for us. And then look at this. In Luke 5:32, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to what?" What's the word? Yeah. Why did he say, "I didn't call the righteous"? Because the righteous, the self-righteous at the day of the time, oh, I don't need God. You ever had people come to you, I'm glad you found Jesus, you needed him. How many of you encountered people? I'm glad you found God. Now just go your way. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I'm glad you found God. Self-righteous. That's self-righteous, huh? They don't see their sin. They don't see their shortcomings. They don't see nothing. They just know that I'm glad you found God. And then our model scripture. We've had this scripture from day one. And this is the scripture that I pray over you when I baptize you in the name of Jesus. Then Peter said to them, what? Repent. Okay, so we see John the Baptist, we see Jesus, and now we see the apostle. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The remissions of sins. Remission means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 29, I know it by heart. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. So it's a promise. As believers, we're promised that our children, and even those right now that you see, look, man, are they ever going to get saved, God? Oh. Yes, include them on the bucket list. Include them on your bucket list, okay? Because don't give up on God. Don't give up on him. Oh, let me ask this question. Did he give up on you?
No.
No. Whoa, man. I should have went down a garbage disposal. I'm sorry. Me. Look what 2 Peter wrote in chapter 3. Look at this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. We talked about that yesterday, huh, Sister Araceli? Long-suffering. He goes, Pastor Fee, you're long-suffering. I go, yeah, I'm long-suffering with some folks. That means patience. Long-suffering means patience. Being long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what?
Repentance.
See, we just answered our question from my statement just moments ago. The people that you're going, oh God, when are they coming, God? He's saying be patient. God will give them a time to repent. Just continue to love them, pray for them. Don't, listen, the worst thing you can do is this. Take the Bible and go bam, bam, and beat them on the head with it. They don't get it. They're not, listen, they haven't been born again. So they don't see what you see. All they see is you become religious. You're just a religious person now. And you know what? They still love you. Praise God that none of them said you can't go to church now. Then there's a really issue at home, huh? And don't get me involved in it. I'll put my phone on silent. I know how that works. But if you're patient with God, he'll do the miraculous. Can I get an amen? So what we need to understand, what we need to truly comprehend is this right up here. What is repentance? What is it? Define it a little more clear. Saints of God, since the message of repentance is prominent throughout the scriptures, we just read several scriptures now. It's important to accurately understand the biblical meaning of this term. It wouldn't be in the Word of God if it didn't mean anything. So we need to look at the definition. What is the definition? Well, I put it up here for us. In the New Testament, repentance includes recognition of sin, meaning acknowledgement of sin, and godly sorrow for that sin. So we have to be broken before God and say, oh God, man, I made a mess of some stuff. And I need to turn from it now. I can't go in and out of bedrooms no more. I can't go in the clubs and drink it up with the best of them no more. Why? Because it'll radically destroy me. And it's not so much destroying you. Man, you will destroy your liver. You'll destroy all kinds of things. Oh, God, help me. And there was a survey taken by there's a wonderful ministry in, I believe it's in Colorado, Focus on the Family, James Dobson. You guys familiar with James Dobson, Focus on the Family? They did a survey that 60% of Christian men are addicted to pornography. And they keep it quiet. They what's like my older brother used to say, they fake the funk in front of people. And they try to keep it hidden. So what has happened? They enjoy it, and they haven't got sick and tired of being sick and tired to turn from it and say, God, help me. It's destroying my marriage. It's destroying everything else in my life. Because all that is an ungodly fantasy. And it's wicked from the devil. Can I get an amen? It's wicked from the devil. And now, this generation we live in wants to infiltrate our children that are in school.
Yes. Mercy.
This is the time that we live in. And so we as adults who have children, if we're caught up in that stuff, well, guess what? It's going to sprinkle onto them too. So we need to what? Repent from that. Say, oh, God, clean my home, God. Clean my heart first. Clean my heart, then help me clean my home. You see, we have to have godly sorrow for that sin and a commitment to change direction. Regret, grief, and remorse accompany repentance, but are not evidence of it if there is no change in the behavior. This is the definition. See, I could just say, you know what? You need to just repent. Well, so for like I said, for some people, what does that mean? It means this right here, what we're reading. It's helping us get to a place with God that he can strengthen us and help us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
This is not to condemn us. This is to set us free. Whom the Son says free is what? Free indeed.
Amen.
So in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for repentance, all it is turn. Turn, just turn. You were going one direction, go the other. Can I get amen? Praise God. God is good. How many believe God is good? And he's worthy to be praised. Let's just take time out and say, God, we love you, Lord. God, we bless you, Lord. We magnify you, God. Thank you, God, for showing us things that we need to know. This helps us. It helps us. Saints, when one repents, he or she turns from that sinful way of life to head in the direction to learn how to be obedient to God. You see, because if you're turning from something that's dark, then God is going to open up something that there's light. And you will grow in that light, and you will just become a flower in his garden to be used by the Master. The process repentance begins with the Holy Spirit's conviction of wrongdoing. And he'll let us know, come on, when you see something evil, hear something evil, see something evil, if not your own human conscience, God's Spirit will convict you. Hey, take your eyes off that. It's going to cause you to go a whole different way in life. Saints, at the point we become painfully aware of our sin against God, and feel the guilt of it, but it doesn't end there. Genuine repentance results in a change of, listen to me carefully, it's a change of mind, it's a change of heart, it's a change of direction, and it's a change of conduct and attitude. It all ties in. It all ties in. And so, now I'm just boasting in the Lord, because I can only boast in him because how he's transforming me, like Brother Joshua said, being transformed, I give him all the praise and glory and honor. So when I wake up in the morning, I wake up with joy in my heart. Amen. Despite of whatever I'm going through physically, you know, through my job, you know, and I praise God for a wonderful wife that comes right beside me and she prays for me and she lifts me up. She never condemns me, but she will do one thing that I thank God for. She will point things out in my life that I need God's attention in to help me, not to condemn me. And I've learned, thank you, honey. Yes, because us men, we have blinders on sometimes. And we don't see this way and we don't see that way. We just look there. And that's why a woman or a wife is called the helpmate.
Yes.
She's not the slave. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
She's a helpmate. She's equal with him at home in everything. And she has the same input as a man would, because you have to honor the input. You could agree to disagree, but at least you can come to a reasoning and an understanding. Can I get amen? So saints of God, instead of tolerating that sin, we know hate, and it would turn to a life of obedience when we turn to God. And we'll learn to hate that sin. So once we made that turn, we'll look back and say, man, I hate that now. Because it was putting me in bondage. It was controlling me. It was suffocating me. I was chained to that sin. And so now when God, you turn and say, God, help me, I'm turning from that now. You'll turn back and look and say, man, thank you, God, because now I hate it. I'm not wallowing in it anymore. You see, Jesus and Paul, they call people to repentance. But John emphasized belief. You got to remember, repentance means I believe now. It's not just turning. You're believing God that you're turning from that, and now God's going to make things greater and beautiful in your life. And you got to walk on with believing that once we turn, God, you're with me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. God, you will help me. God, you will speak to me. God, you will bless me. And how many of you can raise your hands and say, he has done that? Well, that's right. That's right. Look what it says here in the word right up here. Look at this. It says this in John 20:31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. It all comes with it, amen? You see, saints of God, genuine salvation always results in a changed life. Changed life. Baptism is a fitting picture of this conversion. We die to sin, are buried with Christ, and raised with him into the newness of life. It's right here in the Word of God. Look at this. Look at Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Amen. Praise God. This is why I want to encourage those as an adult now. Maybe we were kids. I've heard stories. I was in my youth, and everyone did it, and I did it because everyone did it. But there was no repentance behind it. We just went along to get along. But now, as adults, if you haven't been immersed with the heart of repentance. Say, God, now that I'm an adult, I understand these things. I want to do it. I want to do everything your way. Now that I got knowledge of your word, now that I understand these things, now that I am now responsible for my actions. When we were kids, we just, come on. How many times did our parents had to chew us out sometimes? We just didn't get it as a kid, did we? But as an adult, we have now accountability factor. We have to be accountable. So I want you to look at this as we go through this. Misconceptions about repentance. Misconceptions. There's misconceptions about the word repentance. Listen to me, saints. When we don't understand that faith and repentance are two sides of salvation, both of which are required, we'll try to separate them. Because once you turn, then you got to believe. You got to believe, I'm turning from that, God, and now I'm believing that you're going to keep me in your perfect will. Can I get an amen? That's right. Some people claim that repentance is unnecessary for salvation. They see it as self-generated works, but salvation is only by grace through faith. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. They fail to recognize that both faith and repentance characterize genuine salvation. But salvation is only by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Look at what it says here in the gospel right up here in Romans 2. Therefore, you are what? Inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But look at this. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against who practice such things. So there's people saying, oh man, you don't need to be baptized. But that's not what the word of God says. Look at what it says in verse 3. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? What? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? See, God's been good to us. Aren't you so glad that our life, before we gave our heart to God, that he didn't stamp us out like a cucaracho? I'm tired of you. All you do is sin all day long. You and I wouldn't be here no more. Jesus, help us. But look at this. This is God. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness? In other words, are we just taking advantage of who he is? No, because look at what he says. Despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing. We didn't even know the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Woo! My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look what it says in verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness of your impenitent heart. Look at what it says. Now, this is why we need to pray for those who will not receive what we're talking about. They won't receive what we're saying. But look what it says up here. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those by patient continuance in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. That's us. We're the saints of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're seeking God's glory. We're seeking God's honor. We know that we're going to live forever. Can I get an amen? That's us. But the unbeliever will receive judgment. My goodness. Pray for them. Can I get an amen? Look what it says in verse 8. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Look at verse 9. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. the Jew first and also to the Greek, meaning Gentiles, us. So this is why we got to be, say, okay, God, I'm praying for my loved one. I'm praying for those. Oh, God, because the day you come and take us home, it's curtain call. There's no more hope for them that are left behind. And here's what I love about God. When he takes us home, let's just say, you know, a whole bunch of people that never given their heart yet to God. I truly believe through what the scriptures teach, he won't give us a memory of that, because there's not going to be any weeping in heaven. Amen. Just imagine if we're in heaven and go, man, no, they didn't make it. That's not going to happen. We're going to be changed, and we're going to be like him, and we're going to have joy unspeakable, and we're not going to have any cognizance of that anymore. Amen. Aren't you so blessed? Why would he want to put that torment in your mind? He won't do that. We'll be with him forevermore. Yes. Praise God. And so, saints, when we believe and trust him as Savior, our sins are forgiven, and God cleanses us as he promised. Look, it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All or some?
All
unrighteousness. You see, my friends, repentance brings an instant change at salvation. But it's a continual process after, like Brother Josh said today. You know what it is? It's a transformation that takes place. Can I get amen? It's a transformation. And as he brings an area of sin to mind, we must turn from it by the power of his Spirit. Can I get amen? Now, we're coming in for a close, but look at this. Confession and repentance. What's that all about? Confession isn't merely listing our sins to God, thanking him for his forgiveness, and going on with life. You know what that means? That means truly, you're confessing that and forsaking it. Confessing it and forsaking it. Let me put it in just simple layman's terms. How many of you have pets? Yeah, I have a little dog. Okay. Now, in the middle of your living room, if he happened to go number two, how many of you will instantly go and pick that up and throw it out? Because if not, that whole house is going to fester in stench. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, see, look at it like this. When we confess whatever that sin is, we got to look at it no different. Throw it out. And clean up that house. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It's as simple as that. True biblical confession includes an attitude of repentance. We are not to confess lightheartedly, but in a repentant way that produces victory over sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is why God wrote this in the book of Romans, and we'll close. Look at this. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, it says you'll be what? Saved. For with the heart one believes. Believe in the King James, believeth, is an ongoing believing. Hallelujah. Unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How many are so blessed that God made it so simple for us? I heard it said best. When a kid hears about salvation and you explain it to them, they have faith beyond us and they receive it right away. Kids will believe it. But us adults, I don't know. I want to see it before I believe it. You know, we play these mind games with our own self. We try to implement our humanistic point of view instead of receiving God by faith. Look at this in verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Praise God. Praise God. For, look at this, and we'll close with this scripture right here. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Every time I'm talking to Brother Felipe, we don't call each other, hey, Brother Fee, hey, Brother Felipe. No, it's preacher. What's up, preacher? What are you doing? You know why? Because we know our role with God. Wherever we go, we're preaching.
That's right. That's right.
He's preaching. He's in India right now preaching.
That's right.
And wherever I go, and this wonderful little child's already preaching. Oh, yes. I think I'm hearing amen over there. Preach. So it says, how shall they have not, look at that. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know that God is with us?
Yes.
He'll never forsake us? That he wants the best for your life? And hang on. Hang on. God's going to bless those petitions you've been lifting up for years.
Thank you, Lord.
Listen, I was a knucklehead all the way up until 30. People used to come preach to me at the lumber yard. Man, and I used to get so furious. But God had his perfect time and day with me. And he had one with you. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so those that we know and love dearly, he has a perfect time for them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Don't give up on them. No. Don't give up on them. Don't mock them. Don't laugh at them.
No.
Matter of fact, you should walk into your house, you know, what's up with you? I go, oh, how was it in the presence of God? Hey, next time, maybe you want to join me next week. Hey, you know what? And have some of that. Because when they see you with joy,
yes.
You know what they'll do? They'll do one of two things. They'll go, ah, okay, yeah, all right. Or they'll go, man, I want some of that too.
Yeah.
The Bible says it'll give them godly jealousy. Godly jealousy is they want that too. And they don't know how to go about it. So you pick up their hand and lead them. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let me show you. Let me take you where I get my joy. Yeah, well, you know, we think that, oh, man, you're just a bunch of heathen in there. You big heathen. No, you love them to death. They'll come. They'll come. They will learn to come. So I close with these questions. Number one, if you're struggling with overcoming a particular sin, even though you've confessed it repeatedly, what changes are you going to make now that you've learned about the importance of repentance? It's simple. Turn, trust God, believe God, and learn to hate that you just turned from. Okay? Number two, sometimes our problem is that we still enjoy the sin we repeatedly confess. So, as I shared with the survey from James Dobson, it's a struggle with men. It's a struggle with men, even Christian men. Matter of fact, in that same survey, when there's Christian conferences and people fly, and you know, and they book hotels, the top things that are ordered on that, in the TV room, you know how you can order movies? Are pornographic at a Christian conference. See, no one's around. No one's around. Good Christian men have fallen by Jezebel. There's a Jezebel spirit One day we'll teach about, on that spirit, because it's everywhere. It's not just in our, it's in all churches. It's a Jezebel spirit. And all it wants to do is conquer and divide and destroy the family. And once the family is destroyed, it has the church. And that's what the devil wants to do in these days that we live in. Number three, what benefit are you deriving from your particular sin? So whatever it is, what are you deriving of it that keeps you in it? When it could be destroying your life, okay? Number four, what does God say about it in his word? So always don't let what the preacher, don't let what someone says to look at it in a judgmental way. Open up your word and see what God says about it. He will speak clearly to you. God will speak clearly to you, especially in the book of Corinthians. Because Corinth, if you read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, guess what Paul hit on the most? Sexual sin. Because it was so immoral. There were new believers, young believers, loving the Lord, but they were still caught up in sexual sin. And they didn't know how to get themselves free. And through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, Paul connected with them and wrote it down to what to refrain for, what to look for, what to repent of. It's all in Corinthians, 1 and 2. He didn't have that problem with the Philippians. But why Corinth? Because it was a huge metropolitan area where a lot of ships came in for commerce. So what did these men were looking for? You know what they were looking for, yes. They were looking for a time of pleasure. That's right. So, and number five, and last one, how would freedom from it improve your life and your relationship with the Lord? For me, there were devices that had me gripped as a young Christian. And I'll never forget this moment. Let me just share this. It's real quick. I'll share this real quickly. I remember before I met Sister Yolanda, I was living in a two-car garage. I had just gotten saved. I was maybe saved about maybe not even a year. I was working at Western Lumber, 24th Street, Tidelands Avenue, National City, by the bay. But I was renting a two-bedroom garage in Paradise Hills on Del Grove Lane. And I'll never forget that in the garage, there's a door to access to go into the kitchen and to use the restroom was in the hallway. And I give God praise and glory because I had to use the restroom. So I walked in to the hallway and there was someone in that restroom. And so I just, next to the door, I was just waiting for that person, you know, to be done. But that other roommate, so this was a house, all the rooms were rented. And there was a motor home on the side of the house, and those were the owners. They lived they lived in the motorhome and rented all the rooms. And so I'm just waiting patiently for the person that was in the restroom. But his door was open. And on his bed, there was several books on his bed, and I couldn't see it far away. And there was one that was like open like this. Like I go, what's on his bed? He's in the restroom. So I walked in. As soon as I glanced, I heard a voice so loud. It said, no! And when I glanced, I saw what it was and I ran out of there. An angel spoke. An angel spoke, was watching over me. Because if God would have allowed me to get entrapped in that thing early on, I would never be here today preaching. Because it would have captured my heart, what he delivered me from the world. And he didn't want my eyes on that no more. Just imagine, you know, oh, really? Oh. I'm just telling the truth. and Jesus would be at the door trying to bash it down. Let me in here. But it was an audio voice. And it said, no. And man, I sprinted out of there. And instead of waiting by his door, I waited in the kitchen until he was done. I had to go. God will do, listen, when you're living for Christ and you're living for him, what was that scripture we went over about temptation? Remember that, sister? God will give you a way of escape. I don't care what you find yourself into. Listen, I want to pray for us and those of you that want just a touch from the Lord. But I'm going to sign off with our friends on Facebook and YouTube. Listen, thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Listen, if any of you that are logged in right now have never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you right now that you would give your heart to the Lord and cry out to him. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family here to pray with me for you. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read today, you come to him by faith, believing that God can deliver you from any situation in your life and give you a brand new life, a brand new start in life, and bless you from that moment on. So if that's you, I want you to bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Jesus is worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.